Hello everyone.
Hello, hello.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Tally.
And we are the Lazy Book Lovers. This is a podcast for book lovers who procrastinate about reading and have never-ending to-be-read piles. Today's episode is going to be a werewolves wreck list, because we did vampires a few months ago. We feel like werewolves are also having their moment, so we're going to give them a moment.
I think, like, actually during the vampire one, I was like, I'm going to do a werewolf one.
Yeah.
And now it's that time.
It has come. We followed through within 3 months of saying something.
That is very mindful.
Yeah, very chill. Before we get going into the episode, I want to do a quick shout out to our buddy read. We will have a new one by the time this episode comes out.
So we already know what it is.
Oh, we do? Do you want to announce it then?
Let me find out what it's called.
So we do like 2 monthly buddy reads, so you've got 2 months to read it. This will be September to October's one, because if I'm doing my time math correctly, this episode comes out in September.
Oh, it's under her other name.
Yeah. So,
what's her other name?
There's Ali K. Mulford and A.K. Mulford.
Ali K. Yeah. Mulford, thank you.
You can join us on Storygraph. So we do like a read-along on Storygraph where you can add your comments and stuff. You obviously don't have to do it in the 20-month time frame. You can just use us as inspiration for something to add to your TBR. But if you did want to join us, we add comments there. We would do more comments if there was people there.
Yeah.
And also, if you should want to help us, support us financially, if you enjoy the podcast, we do have a Ko-fi subscription. It's kind of like Patreon, and it gets you a link to an exclusive Discord. There we go, that's all the things. Here are the recs.
So firstly, our next buddy read. So it comes out on the 3rd of September, and it is Pumpkin Spice and Poltergeist, and it's by Ali K. Mulford, who you've heard me and Tony scream about constantly on this podcast.
Yep.
And K.L. Morrison, who I haven't read from. So this is actually the first in a series as well, I found out when I was on...
Oh, I thought it was like a standalone.
No, I was on Ali K.'s website, and I saw that it was the first.
Nice.
Listed as the first.
Of course, it's another bloody series. Mm. Because this woman knows how to keep me hooked.
So this is it's going to be perfect for like spooky season. It's got witches and supernatural stuff. And it's set in Maple Hollow, which gives me, what's it called from Gilmore Girls?
Oh.
Stars Hollow. Stars Hollow vibes. Stars Hollow. So there we go. And there's vampires in it as well, I think. Okay, so today we're going to do, like with the vampires one, that was vampire books from my TBR. So it's not books that I can talk about in much detail, but they're ones I want to get to soon. I don't know if I've got to any of them yet. I'll have to have a look. So today we're going to do 8 books from my TBR that I have been informed have werewolves or some form of shifter in. I've not read them, so...
I mean, if the internet has lied to us, what are you going to do? Don't believe everything you read online, guys.
Apart from the first one, all the rest have pictures of werewolves or something on them, so I know there's. But this one, the first one, caught me off guard. This is on my TBR for this month it's this month's book, which at the time of recording is August, for the Who Did This To You book club. So I'm hoping to pick it up this month.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to go get it from the library, though, and going to the library sounds like effort. but I saw it on the list as having werewolves, so... I'll be able to tell you soon if that's true or not. And this is The Wren in the Holly Library by K.A. Lind.
Okay.
And this is the first in the Oak and Holly cycle, because romancy books can't just be standalones, obviously.
No, we can't just have one book and be done.
No, they have to be series. I'm really into the idea of duologies.
Mm.
Hint, hint, authors. Feel free to stop at 2 if you... can.
And so these are 5 books, because I'm going to buy all 5 books, and you know that, and it's a clever marketing ploy, and well done, but still.
I really like authors that do, like Danielle L. Jensen, like it's duologies, but set in the same,
yeah,
like world, or the same kind of character circle, or whatever, yeah. And Carissa Broadbent's one, that's Serpent and the Wings of Night, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
They're like duology.
I think the series name is Crowns of Nyaxia. That's like the world name, as it were.
Yeah. So I like that, Because sometimes, like, four or five books following one couple, because if it's a romantic series, it's based around the romance, I get bored of it. There's only so many times you can break them up.
Yeah, they draw it out and the characters finally get together and then there's a reason that breaks them up. Yeah. And then we got a couple more books of angst and it's like, that was good, but it has been done.
Yeah, so I like it when it can be done in a duology and then we move on to a character that's like related to them somehow or in the same world. I like that. I like that. Because then also you've got loads of space for your world building. It doesn't all have to be done in like one book. You can, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not rushed, and it's also not too fucking long.
Yeah. So I'm just throwing it out there for anyone that cares about my opinion as someone who is not an author.
We are the voice of authority, obviously. We have a podcast about books.
So, The Wren in the Holly Library. As I said, this is a romanticy. So, can you love the dark when you know what it hides? Some things aren't supposed to exist outside of our imagination. 13 years ago, monsters emerged from the shadows and plunged Kersey's world into a cataclysmic war of near total destruction. The New York City she knew so well collapsed practically overnight. In the wake of that carnage, the Monster Treaty was created, a truce of sorts. But tonight, Kersey, a gifted and fearless thief, will break that treaty. She'll enter the Holly Library, not knowing it's the home of a monster. He's charming, quietly alluring, terrifying, but he knows talent when he sees it. It's just a matter of finding her price. Now she's locked in a dangerous bargain with a creature unlike any other. He's playing a game across centuries, but once she joins in, there'll be no escape. I think it's going to be good.
Sounds good. Also, just once, I want the enigmatic and immortal to be a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the ancient, enigmatic, mysterious, does bargains.
I guess it's usually the man because it's like the self-insert as you're the character that comes across like the gorgeous man.
Yeah.
But agreed. Mm. I would quite like that. Maybe some nice sapphic books.
I may be right that one day, but you know.
Oh yeah, I've got a big list of books I'm going to write one day. You watch this space one day.
When I get mysterious free time out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm coming for you.
When I'm retired for all those 2 minutes on my deathbed, just you wait. So next on my list is called Such Sharp Teeth by Rachel Harrison, and it does say on the cover a werewolf novel, so I feel confident in this.
Yeah, I feel like you're safe.
And this is a fantasy horror. So this follows a young woman in need of a transformation who finds herself in touch with the animal inside. Rory Morris isn't thrilled to be moving back to her hometown, even if it is temporary. There are bad memories there, but her twin sister Scarlett is pregnant, estranged from the baby's father and in need of support. So Rory returns to the place she thought she'd put in her rear view. After a night out at a bar, when she runs into Ian, an old almost flame, she hits a large animal with her car. And when she gets out to investigate, she is attacked. Rory survives miraculously, but life begins to look and feel different. A darkly comedic love story that is a brilliantly layered portrait of trauma, rage and vulnerability. And I am here for women's rage.
Rage and vulnerability. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. This one, I've been meaning to read Rachel Harrison. I've got a lot of her books
on
my shelf.
Does sound vaguely familiar.
She also wrote Cackle. She wrote, yeah, you're gonna have to look it up. She wrote Cackle. Black Sheep was another one. This one, that's all I can think of off the top of my head. The next one is another one that's on my shelf and has actually been on my TBR a few times and I've just not got around to it. So,
of course.
Who do I think I am?
I had a good old mooch for your shelves when I was at your place the other day.
Yeah, did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
They're very
packed now. You have lots of nice
books.
And I was like, I wonder if I could steal some and she would not notice.
Which kind of books were you checking out?
All of them. Pretty.
All of my fancy ones are in my bedroom.
You have really nice books. Yeah, I didn't go in your bedroom because you had the door shut.
Yeah, we closed all the doors because otherwise the cats would take mice and then...
Yeah, I didn't get any gifts. Aww, so it's just something for you, apparently.
It is always for me. It's always put right where I get out of bed.
It's definitely specially for you, because they didn't leave me any gifts. No,
Charlie loves bringing me mice.
He just seemed to assume that I knew how to hunt and didn't need instructions.
I don't know if it's like thank you gifts, because I'm the one that feeds them.
Yeah.
Because animals always prefer my partner. And so when we got the cats, I assumed they wouldn't care so much about me. Mm. But actually, they've both quite grown to love me. And I think it's because I'm the one that feeds them.
Yeah, the animals are chiefly obsessed with my mum. And then I'm like secondary.
Because you do the feeding sometimes.
Well, I think I do the loving.
Ah, yee.
We get lots of cuddles and fuss from me.
Yeah, Hamilton likes to have... Like, Hamilton will go and sit on my partner on his lap at the desk and stuff, and he'll never do that to me, but... he'll sleep on my partner when my partner's, like, asleep, obviously. And he never does that to me, but he's always, like, at my feet all the time, checking in and stuff.
It was so funny, because when I stayed at yours to cat sit last year, and I was staying in your bed, he would kind of, like, come in and be like... Is it still her on the bed?
Is it the wrong person?
And he'd sort of do like a little line and be like, come on. And a couple of times I managed to get him up on the bed. Mm. And then he was like, not sure. And he'd kind of like lay away from me. But if I dared to move, he'd be like, nope, okay, done, I'm out. Done, done, done. I'm done. Yep. I reckon attack. A bit more time, I will make them love me.
But Charlie only really likes me. Mm. And... I'm going to be completely honest with this. I don't think it's me he likes. I think it's my daughter.
Yeah.
Because he never was a come near you kind of cat until I was pregnant. Then he got really interested in my bump and now he likes to come near me.
Oh, it's just your daughter.
Yeah. Night Bitch by Rachel Yoda.
I already like it.
This is like a contemporary literary women's fiction type thing. This follows there's just cuts deep, man. An ambitious mother puts her art career on hold to stay at home with her newborn son, but the experience does not match her imagination. 2 years later, she steps into the bathroom for a break from her toddler's demands, only to discover a dense patch of hair on the back of her neck. In the mirror, her canine suddenly looks sharper than she remembers. Her husband, who travels for work 5 days a week, casually dismisses her fears from faraway hotel rooms. However, her symptoms intensify and her temptation to give in to her new dog-like impulses peak. She struggles to keep her altered canine identity a secret. Yeah, so I think this is about motherhood, the stresses of it, and like giving up your individuality and yourself. Your identity and what you become next. So, yeah, I think that this will be good.
So, like, the alter ego of the wolf is almost, like, a metaphor.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going for.
I like it. Mm. I like the title too.
Yeah, right? I know, it's such a good title. That's why I keep adding it to my list. Like, I just need to read this. The next one is the only one on this list that has been read by you, not me.
Oh, okay.
Bride by Ali Hazelwood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at us having a mainstream book.
I know. So, this follows a dangerous alliance between a vampire bride and an alpha werewolf that... Did I have this on my vampire TBR? I wonder if I did. That becomes a love deep enough to sink your teeth into in this paranormal romance. So, Misery Lark. Misery. The only daughter of the most... powerful vampire councilman of the southwest is an outcast again. Her days of living in anonymity among the humans are over. She has been called upon to uphold a historic peacekeeping alliance between the vampires and their mortal enemies, the Wares. She sees little choice but to surrender herself in exchange again. Wares are ruthless and unpredictable, and their alpha, Lo Morland, is no exception. He rules his pack with absolute authority, but not without justice. And unlike the Vampire Council, not without feeling. It's clear from the way he tracks Misery's every movement that he doesn't trust her. If only he knew how right he was. Bum, bum, bum.
This is a great romance. And, like, probably my favourite Ali Hazelwood. Like, the writing in this is better than all her romance books. Not that there's anything wrong with the writing in her romance books. But I think you can really see where she's written to a formula.
It makes you wonder, like, how well the book did and will her publishing house allow her to do more kind of fantasy books, because obviously a lot of the people that picked this up would have been her contemporary readers, and they may not necessarily be fantasy readers.
It's so funny, the number of people, because I'm in a few book Facebook groups now, and every now and then someone will read Bride for the first time because it's Sally Hazelwood, and they're like, they've got this thing called knotting, I don't understand. And everyone's like, don't Google it.
Context, baby, just work it out.
I really enjoyed the book. The romance in it is good. The characters are good. I really like Misery because she's like sort of a bitch. She's like it's literally like a cat and a dog become like interested in each other romantically. It's cute. It's a good story. I mean,
vampires are quite cat-like.
Yes, I mean.
And werewolves are quite dog-like. So I really appreciate that, actually. I never noticed that.
Yeah, it's very cat and like...
I like him.
He doesn't have... The guy doesn't have golden retriever energy, but obviously he's very werewolf-y.
Alpha.
No, he's not even too alpha-y.
Is he not?
No.
Good. I don't like werewolf romance or shifter romance because often the alphas are too... alpha bro, and well, I don't
like,
care for that.
I'm abusive, but it's just because I'm a alpha. Like, no.
I don't want to read about, like, Andrew Tate as a werewolf. No, thank you.
That is definitely not romance written for the female
that
gaze.
That is not modest at all.
It's a certain type of female gaze, I guess. No, I mean, I've read a few shifter books like that.
Yeah, I actually think that appeals more to men. Of what they think masculinity is.
It's not really female gaze.
No. Like, Andrew Tate is, like, he's not trying to attract women. He's definitely trying to attract men.
Oh, I like all those things where it's said, like, a lot of these, this incel stuff, like, these are men that do not like women.
Yeah.
Like, they would date a man if that was their preference.
And they're probably, the reason they're so angry is because they feel like they can't be gay.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, especially with all the recent, like literally they just made misogyny a hate crime and stuff, because of the violence, the rise in violence in younger men towards younger women.
It's disgusting.
It's primarily in that 16 to 19 age gap, and it's because of this ideology that's been...
And like femicide is... such a big issue, and people just brush it under the carpet.
Well, they are, I think they're going to declare it as like a state of emergency type thing.
They have to, especially after all of the riots that have happened in the UK recently because of it.
And well, it was about protecting women.
No, I mean because of men just being scum and wanting to go out and smash shit for no reason.
Yeah, so it's like this ideology of violence is permeating, it's getting...
Well, people were saying, and I signed a petition about it, that EDL should be a terrorism group, because they've literally come out and trashed and terrorised. Like, they are domestic terrorists. Anyway.
Sorry, that's some political stuff in the UK, non-UK.
Next is Mongrels by Stephen Graham Jones, who, if you've been around for a while, you know he is one of my favourite horror authors. And this is from his back catalogue, because he has got like 30 odd books, and I'm,
How long has he been writing for?
He's in his mid 50s, late 50s.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been writing, he's a storyteller.
Yeah.
He's, if you don't know, he's indigenous, he's of the Blackfoot tribe. And he is a storyteller, so he's been doing stories like forever. So... he was born an outsider like the rest of his family, poor yet resilient. He lives in the shadows with his Aunt Libby and Uncle Darren, folk who stubbornly make their way in a society that does not understand or want them. They are mongrels, mixed blood, neither this nor that. The boy at the centre of mongrels must decide if he belongs on the road with his aunt and uncle, or if he fits with the people on the other side of the tracks. For 10 years, he and his family have lived a life of late-night exits and narrow escapes, always on the move across the South to stay one step ahead of the law. But the time is drawing near when Darren and Libby will finally know if their nephew is like them or not. And the close calls they've been running from for so long are catching up fast now. Everything is about to change.
Dun, dun, dun. Mm. Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued.
Again, that's another one where it sounds like the whole werewolf thing is an allegory for something else.
Yeah. I think it's like very much about like identity and being where you fit in and stuff. Yeah. Off topic, I recently read, is it called Making Love with the Land? By Joshua Whitehead. And it was really, really interesting. I've had them on my TBR for a while of wanting to check out some of their books.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just double check what it's actually called. I think it's called, yeah, Making Love with the Land, yeah. And it was really interesting because it's listed as like a non-fiction memoir,
right,
like essays collection, etc. They are two spirit, but it was, they really, really emphasised how in an indigenous culture, like, there's not really, like, a non-fiction thing. It's, yeah, like, because everything is entwined with stories, yeah, and, like, you bring yourself into stories or et cetera, et cetera. So it's listed for us as, like, non-fiction. But Joshua specifically says in the book, you know, it's not really non-fiction. It's not really fiction. It's just...
It's just a story.
The only way that it can be in a Western world where it has to be put in a box, all they can do is to think to put in non-fiction, which I found really, really interesting. They have another book called Johnny Appleseeds that I want to read.
Yeah.
And in Making Love with the Land, Joshua talks about this book, and they say that this one is often, Johnny Appleseed is often said to be like a bit of a memoir. It's like a fictionalized version of their life.
Yeah.
And Joshua was like, actually, that was entirely fiction.
Yeah. And, that's so interesting.
And this book that is listed as non-fiction has more fiction in it. And it was just really crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's interesting how publishing houses genre block books. There's no space for like that kind of vibe, is there?
Again, it's down to marketing.
Yeah.
Speaking as someone who works for a business that sells literally everything, there is no niche for literally everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the easiest way to market is niches.
Yeah.
Then you can do your keywords. You can advertise to a particular demographic. If your demographic is everyone, that becomes, it's impossible and it doesn't work. It doesn't sell.
Yeah, lately I've been thinking a lot about book genres, in particular to do with, like, all of this. What's the book called? It Ends With Us. The controversy about the film. Because, obviously, a lot of the actors involved and the marketing is all treating it like a rom-com.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's a story of domestic violence.
But then the main guy, who's also the director, has very much treated it like the topic
Well, that's why he's not involved in it anymore. They've all pushed him out, haven't they? He's not... And then it's resulted in loads of people going to see this fun rom-com and coming out traumatised or, like, having triggers happen and stuff.
So, because of all this, I went and watched, like, a YouTube summary of the plot.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is very much, like, this is very serious, because the whole thing of the It Ends With Us is the cycle of abuse.
Yeah.
Ends with the main character.
Because she has her child and she's like, no more abuse is going to happen.
It ends with us. That's the whole point. It's about the cycle of abuse and stuff. So I'm like, it's literally in the title, babe.
And the book is literally written about the author's parents and the domestic abuse that she grew up like witnessing. And I just find it weird that all of her books, from what I can gather, are pretty much a similar vein. But for some reason, her publishers have done them all as, like, romances and not...
Girly florals.
Yeah, like, girly pop.
Because I definitely thought that's what Coho was.
Yeah, no.
Until this.
That's
until
why
I've
refused
to
ever read her, because I'm like, it's all, like, quite triggering and it's poorly marketed. And Colleen Hoover doesn't have a choice a lot of the time in how they're marketed, but she does lean into it, which makes me feel icky.
It's that Blake Lively quote where she's like, bring the girls, bring the florals.
Yeah.
That's not the vibe.
No, it's not the vibe. The vibe is, this is a, like...
Bring the girls, bring the florals to watch an hour or so detailing the cycle of abuse and how you get trapped in it. Ugh.
Yeah, Anyway.
Not very modest, not very cute, not no. very demure.
No, none of those.
So sorry, guys. You'll be hearing this a bit after this trend has died, but we're right in the thick of it.
Yeah.
Both of our entire TikToks right now.
Okay, so next, there is a Netflix TV show, which I love, and I recently found out it's based on a series of books, so I need to check out the books. Hemlock Grove. If you have not watched
it... Oh, I haven't.
Watch... Oh, I've got to watch it.
I've hesitated quite a few times about watching it.
It's only like... 2 or 3 seasons. It's got werewolves, it's got vampires, it's got like demons. It's just, oh, so good. It's got Bill Skarsgård in it. Oh, sexy. Yes, perfect. Watch it. Thank
you. Is that True Blood?
That's Alexander Skarsgård. Bill Skarsgård is the one that played it, Pennywise in it.
Is he the guy that's in Pirates of the Caribbean as well as the dad?
That's the dad, Stellan Skarsgård. Yeah, he's just got a lot of sexy sons.
Okay.
And he was quite attractive in his day. Anyway, this was like, I don't know, the show's like really old and I feel like no one's bloody watched it. Please watch it.
I've more than a few times I've done the thing where I'm like flicking through Netflix and seen it, watched the trailer and been like, because sometimes with these Netflix fantasy ones, they're a real mixed bag. They're either really shit. No. And I can get down with a shit series, to be fair, if it's like owns the shitness.
2013 it came out.
Okay.
So I've been banging on about this for 10 years. I feel like no one watches it.
I'll watch this when you watch Shadow and Bone.
3 seasons.
Shadow and Bone.
Yeah, I'll watch this
when you watch.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm talking to the listeners. Go and watch it, please. Thank you. Anyway, so it's based on a book series that I recently found out called Hemlock Grove. And, well, I think it's like...
How long is the series?
I think it might be a one book and then like a short prequel. So I don't know. I think series is like overselling it. By Brian McGreevy. So this is an exhilarating reinvention of the Gothic novel inspired by the iconic characters of our greatest myths and nightmares. The body of a young girl is found mangled and murdered in the woods of Hemlock Grove, Pennsylvania, in the shadow of the abandoned Godfrey Steel Mill. A manhunt ensues. Though the authorities aren't sure if it's a man they should be looking for. Some suspect an escapee from the White Tower, a foreboding biotech facility owned by the Godfrey family. Their personal fortune and the local economy having moved on from Pittsburgh still, where if the rumours are true, biological experiments of the most unethical kind take place. Others turn to Peter Rumanek, a gypsy trailer trash kid who has told impressionable high school classmates that he's a werewolf. Or perhaps it's Roman, the son of the late J.R. Godfrey, who rules the adolescent social scene with the casual arrogance of a cold-blooded aristocrat. Yeah, so I really loved this show. I've watched it multiple times, although I will admit I've never watched the last episode of season 3 because I don't want it to end.
Because you are who you are, yeah.
Maybe I'll watch the last episode of season 3 and just, like, actually finish the show. But...
How do you keep track of all the shows that you never finish?
Well, I just finished them in my head, don't I? I'm
okay, just done. Cool. Silly question, my bad.
It's like how I was watching, me and my partner watched Orange is the New Black, like, all the way through. And the series, we watched the second from last series, the penultimate series, and I thought that was the last series. And it ended really well. And when we found out it wasn't the last series, we just never watched the last one because it ended so perfectly. It didn't need another series in our opinion.
Yeah, one of my friends has been hounding me to finish Supernatural. Mm. I was like, but when I do that, it's done.
Mm.
Whereas right now, I'm on pause at season 13.
Of... 26?
No, 15.
Oh, okay.
There's 15 seasons. So I've not watched 14 or 15 yet. I'm like, I don't know. I just got done with the one where God is in their bathroom and...
Sometimes you reach a point where you're like, do you know what? I'm happy with this. This is done for me.
No, they haven't had a good ending yet. Oh. Like, end of season 13 is not a good...
Or sometimes you're like, I'm fed up of this now. I'm done.
No, I want to watch it. But I now have got to the point where I've left it so long that I'm probably have to go back to about season 11 and rewatch.
Oh, no, yeah.
And then when it's a 24 episodes, a season series, that's a commitment. I might do it. I'm trying to give myself more free time. I'm currently rewatching Umbrella Academy so I can watch the final season, the new season.
I need to do that. Next on my list.
Anyway, back to books.
Is from a series that I've read the first from and I need to finish it. But they're like a series in a universe, but standalone books. So by Ben Alderson, I need to read Alpha of Mortal Flesh, and it's the third in the Dark Morn universe. So each book is, they're all gay, and each book is a reimagining of a different, in case you're not British, that's just, it's a term of endearment.
From a series.
Each book is a reimagining of a different fairy tale. So, like, the first one I read was, like, a Beauty and the Beast retelling. It had a vampire as the beast. I don't know if you remember me talking about that in a wrap-up once. So, the third book is a Little Red Riding Hood tale. So, obviously, it has a werewolf in it. Doesn't tell you much about it. It just says it follows Rory as he uncovers a new race of paranormal creatures that threaten everything dear to him. Rise of the Wolves and Beware. Which just sounds great. I like Ben Alderson's writing. He writes good smut scenes. What more do I need?
Tick, tick.
Tick, tick, tick.
Gay.
Tick,
tick. Smut. Gay. Werewolves. Tick, tick, tick.
And now we're on to my last one.
Okay.
So this is from a series I've spoken about many a time on here, Cambric Creek by C.M. Nuskosta. So they had the Morning Glory Milking Farm was the first one.
Yes.
And then they had like a Mothman one, and there was a Shifter one, the like moon, full moon.
I need to read these. Hang on, I'm gonna add it to my digital TV.
Full moon breeding sanctuary. I can't remember. Anyway. She's done a spin-off one called Cambric Creek After Dark Verse, and this is more of a kind of dark, gritty one, whereas the Cambric Creek ones are more kind of romantic-y. So I've read the first one in this Cambric Creek After Dark Verse series, which was called Run, Run, Rabbit, and that was about a family from Cambric Creek who are shifters.
Right.
And the second one is out, which I haven't read yet. And this follows a woman called Jude, who is a werewolf that's never actually turned. So she's been sold like a broodmare by her family, engaged, claimed, and discarded by the son of her new Pax Alpha. Kept apart and secluded, a reminder that she's broken, a shameful secret to hide away. Jude is left alone and in heat with no one. No one but the shadowy bodyguard in her fiancé's employ. Lux is sinister and silent, invisible in her shadows for everyone but her. As Jude and her incorporeal jailer grow closer, she can't imagine captivity without him.
I wonder what happened.
A high heat novella set in Cambric Creek universe, intended for adult audience.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I just need to read this, and then I've got one more book in the Cambric Creek main series, and then I'm upstate, so
I mean, yeah, I might read them.
They are really fun, to be fair. And honestly, like, I know that the idea of it might sound ridiculous if you don't read monster erotica, but this was basically my intro to it, and I thought it was a great great series.
Oh, that was such a good phase of this podcast, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm back in it.
The monster smut phase. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
I've just gone through all of the... I've just got up to date and read all of the Katie Roberts ones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really barreling straight back into it.
I'm so excited for our next reading update.
Yeah. Oh, Sweet Berries. That was the good one. That was the moth one. The Mothman one.
Oh, my God, I remember the Mothman one.
And then there was the Shifter one. So, the one that I need to catch up on is Two for Tea, which is a vampire run tea shop. And then there's one that comes out this month, actually, for me, He Loves Me Not, and that's like a serpent guy. So,
right,
I need to get up to date, and then I'm very happily in my monster smut era again.
Do you know what we missed off of the werewolf list though? River of Golden Bones.
Oh, and it's not on my TBR. I've read it.
Oh, wow, I forgot the rules of the list.
Yeah, this is my TBR one.
My bad. Go read that as well.
Yeah, it is good, to be fair. It was in many ways better than I thought
What, River of Golden Bones?
Yeah. 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 It's not that I expected bad. It's just at the beginning, where it started at the beginning and where it ended, completely different.
Yeah,
and
it takes a while to get going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I definitely don't love it as much as some of her other books. Because I just expected to just, like, love it. Her books have always been really good to, like, fall into the world of.
Yeah.
This one took a bit longer.
But this is, like, the first time that they've done a series following just, like, a core group of main characters, like, series.
Yeah.
Because all of their other series, follows whether fantasy or romance, they're, like, in the same universe but different characters. Yeah
You never follow the same character through several books. Yeah, they do, like, one character switch POV, other character switch POV, which was sad because, like,
if you really like a character, well, you want more of
in
them,
Five
right?
Kingdoms of Okrith, we were like, after we're done with her sister in book two, we don't see Remy really very much at all. And I loved Remy,
and that's the first character.
Yeah,
you want more of that. Yeah,
yeah. Although, I really love Nilo. So
have you completely non werewolf related?
That's right, we've done really good for time. So
have you started the Derek Landy podcast episode yet?
No, because I'm really in the thick of those books, The Raven Cycle. I'm now on the last book.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm so invested right now, which is why when I didn't mind driving to and from yours to help with
the cats. To it more, yeah.
Because I was listening to that story and I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
It was quite funny, like, the big ending of book three was happening, and obviously I was driving, and I was like, fuck! Ah! Like, just driving, be like, what is happening?
I was cleaning up in the kitchen the other day listening to an audiobook, and some stuff was happening. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And apparently in the other room, everyone was like, what's wrong, what's wrong? But I couldn't hear because I had my headphones on. And I was like, oh my God. And my partner thought I'd dropped something or cut myself on a knife, which is something that happens often when I'm washing up. Kids come running in and they're like, I don't know. And I took my headphones off and I was like, what? And they're like, what's wrong? And I was like, what do you mean, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why are you running in here? What's wrong?
At least you know people would care.
Yeah.
Been recently getting back into Sims again. Don't know why. Last week was my tired week and I was like, all I want to do is play Sims.
I haven't played Sims for a while, but I've been really wanting to play Planet Zoo. So I might do that for a bit.
Or yeah. I was alternating between Sims and Stardew.
Are you back on Stardew?
Gaming week, yeah.
Good.
So on Sims, I was like, I'm bored because I always just, like, the houses, I just make, get out of the way. I just make them.
I just love making houses. Then when I start playing it, I'm like, bored of the family, let's make another house.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, I want to try and do something a bit different. I've been trying to make, like, different, more interesting houses. Mm. Like, taking 2-3 hours to design them, kind of, like, really getting into it.
I strongly recommend starting a Pinterest board and collecting inspiration pictures. Because that's what I do and I love it.
Because obviously I've still got Sims 2 on this computer. Mm. But boyfriend really wants me to upgrade. He even bought me Sims 4. I'm like, well, I know what I'm doing on Sims 2. I want to learn something new. And there's too many things on Sims 4.
There's a lot, because if you haven't been following it, if you go straight in now, you're like, the fuck is going on?
I did get Sims 3, and I was like, and I spent like 40 minutes designing a nose, and I was like, this is too much for me.
Yeah.
I could use the default faces, but I'm just not that way.
I like on Sims 4 doing the randomise, picking one that looks okay and then just editing a few bits, otherwise I spend too long on
it. Sometimes the random faces, though, they're really fucked up.
Some of them are so incredibly ugly.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Just give me some normal people with different features.
Cool. That was completely...
That was a tangent.
So what should I do next? I've done vampires, I've done werewolves. Maybe I'll do, like, witches and ghosts leading up to October.
Oh, yeah, because we're heading into October. Yes.
So, yeah, in September I'll do one of them, and then in October I'll do one of them. So expect them coming up.
Okay, you need to edit the planner then.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to forget to do that.
Let's
I think I might have built in some spooky things.
Yeah, anyway. I think you did. Because we do enjoy chatting spooky shit.
I've done Halloween Rex, but I'm actually, that's quite vague.
Okay, Halloween Rex can be ghost TBR books. And then we just need to put in a witch's TBR book.
Yeah, somewhere.
Perfect.
Yeah, there'll be space to just kick something else out.
Yeah, we'll just boot something out. Yeah, so let me know if you have any werewolf books on your TBR, any I should check out. If you've read any of the ones that are on my TBR, come chat to us in any of the places Tony mentioned at the beginning. So Discord, our Facebook group, our Instagram, our TikTok. You can also support us on Ko-fi if you so wish. And we will see you next week for... who did this? Injured tropes?
Basically, character gets injured, another character takes care of them.
We'll try and come up with like a spunky way of saying it.
I have failed to find a quick way of saying that, and it's a very specific trope.
So yeah, we will chat about them with you next week.
Don't forget to download and subscribe,
yeah,
please.
Bye.
Bye.